Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and today is Thursday, August 1st, 2024. And we are continuing to read from the Big Book in More About Alcoholism, page 36, the second paragraph. Suddenly the thought crossed my mind through two that didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another. Today's readers are Vanessa G., who will read the text, Margaret D., A Vision for You, and Dion R. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, July 31st, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,619, and for Thursday, August 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,622. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Patrick O. to please unmute, join us, and read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Patrick.
Hello, everybody. This is Patrick, compulsive eater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. And next, we're going to pop over to Kathy P. in Oregon, who is going to kindly read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Kathy.
Morning. Grateful to be of service today. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA They, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you please keep your sharing directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we will continue our study of the Big Book on page 36, the second paragraph. Suddenly, the thought crossed my mind. Through to the end of that paragraph, that didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another. I will now ask Vanessa G. in New Mexico to please join us and begin reading and sharing her experience on this paragraph. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everyone who's here supporting my recovery. My name is Vanessa G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. So this starts out with Jim's thoughts. Suddenly the thought crossed my mind, if I were to put an ounce of whiskey in my milk, it couldn't hurt me on a full stomach. I ordered a whiskey and poured it into the milk. I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart, but I felt reassured as I was taking the whiskey on a full stomach. The experiment went so well that I ordered another whiskey and poured it into more milk. That didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another. So this whole chapter is about the insanity that as compulsive overeaters we experience around food. And when I read this, other than the sentence that really makes me laugh, that when I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart, the other part of this that really hits me is the fact that Jim thinks he's conducting an experiment, and yet he already has decided what the outcome of that experiment is going to be, but yet he's calling it an experiment. And I'm thinking about some of the experiments that I went through after coming to OA many years ago, my experiments that ended up in my binging or in my relapse. The first one was I went to a noon AA meeting, and they were having cake and ice cream to celebrate birthdays or anniversaries. And my experiment was, cake and ice cream, one serving can count as my lunch. Experiment failed. The next one was, and with that same thing, was, oh my goodness, I'm feeling a craving because I ate something sugary. So now I'm going to run and get something with protein in it, because following a sugary thing with a protein thing is going to stop the craving. Experiment failed. Another one was eating dessert as long as I was with other people. This was my social eating experiment. As long as I was with other people, I could control and manage the amount that I ate. Failed experiment. Another one was just a taste, just a spoonful won't hurt. That was the just a bite experiment. And then another experiment was eating artificial sweetened foods, look-alike foods, substitute foods. I call that my monk fruit peanut butter cookie experiment. And you can guess how that one ended up too. And then the last one was, eating my binge foods as long as I weighed and measured them. You know, I call that the 7 tortilla chip experiment. And I could go on and on. They all failed. They're just examples, some of the thoughts that I would have, and then the experiments that I would design, thinking I would prove that my pet theory correct. And all of them failed. All of them were insane. Anyway, I really appreciate the opportunity to share today with my experience, strength, and hope on this subject, I hope.
That's time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa G. Okay. In New Mexico. Thank you so much. All right, and just a reminder where we are in case you came in midway. Page 36, second paragraph, suddenly the thought crossed my mind, through to that didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So before everybody starts, if remember to please give me your first name, your last initial, and the state or country you are calling from. All right, my pen is poised.
Maya K. from New York.
Jackie. Maya K. from New York. Jeannie, I hear you. Hold on, Jackie. Jeannie, you're going to have to say where you're from with your last initials when you speak. So I've got Maya, Jackie, Jeannie. Who else would like to join these ladies? Corey. Laurie. Thank you, Laurie. What's your last initial and where are you calling from?
T, California.
Thank you.
Barbara A, California.
Thank you, Barbara. Anyone else for this first round?
McCall S, Massachusetts.
Thank you, McCall. All right, we'll stop there. So I have Maya K in New York, Jackie and Jeannie, who I think are both also East Coast, and they'll give us their last initials. Then Laurie T, California, Barbara A, California, McCall S in Massachusetts. So could everybody please mute their line? And good morning to you, Maya K in New York. Maya, star one to unmute.
Okay. Hi, Maya K from New York.
Hi.
And it's spelled M-A-I-J-A. Looks kind of funny. So, and I'm a bulimic overeater in recovery. And I really related to this paragraph and the share because I have definitely thought of that word, rationalize. And to me, if you break it down, it's like when we tell ourselves rational lies. They sound rational, but they're lies. Like in the hospital, when I tried to follow a non-12-step program there, and they were telling me I can have my alcoholic foods, you know, a limited amount. I just obsessed on it the whole day. Or I tried to rationalize and say, well, a Dorito is really corn. So, you know, the things I told myself. But I do think it's different as far as alcohol goes, where my food can get, has like gotten sloppy, where I might eat too much. And some people might not agree, but like broccoli, I'm not going to throw my whole abstinence away because of broccoli when I haven't had sugar and flour for 20 years. But I know that something's going on. It's not as black and white as alcohol, which I haven't had for 20 years. So, you know, I know that, you know, I have to really look at my steps and connect with God better and see what's going on when things look a little fishy. But there are definitely absolutes in my abstinence and what I do. And I just pray to be willing to do God's will in my abstinence, in my life, and, you know, whatever it is I'm doing for today. And I just go by that. I talk to my sponsor. You know, I run by things, and it always has to do with, you know, making the right choices in my life, and, you know, honest choices. And I've heard that all week, really, from many people, of focusing on God's will, and the food falls into place. And I mean, I definitely had to put down my red light foods first, even if I had to put a towel over it the first couple weeks, so I didn't pick up anything, just not look at it, even though it was hard at first. But I really like this chapter, and I relate so much to it, all the experiments I tried. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm ever perfect, but I've come so far. I mean, I almost killed myself with this eating disorder in so many different ways, laxatives, suicide, anything. So thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you. And that was Maya K in New York, spelled M-A-I-J-A. Next, Jackie, if you could join us and give us your initial, and I think your East Coast as well. Go ahead, Jackie, please.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. My name is Jackie D. I am from Georgia, and I am a compulsive overeater living in recovery thanks to my higher power. Thank you all for being here for me today, and thank you for being here for me every single day. As has been shared many times, this paragraph is kind of interesting and funny and so close to home. The line, you know, the beginning line, suddenly the thought crossed my mind. And that was me, you know, 2+ years ago, or before I entered program, let's just put it that way. That was me. There were so many suddenlies. There were so many thoughts that crossed my mind that made me think that I could do this on my own. You know, I've tried the experiments. I've tried the diets. I've tried the, you know, eating at certain times of the day, eating not after certain times of the day, eating just the portion size or the serving size that's written on the label. You know, I've tried just eating certain foods. I've tried so many different ways of not being the compulsive overeater that I am and that I will always be. I am just grateful right now that I am living in recovery, but I will always be a compulsive overeater. I'm just fortunate and blessed that eventually the suddenly that crossed my mind was to join OA. I'm just fortunate and blessed that the suddenly that crossed my mind was to reach for a higher power that can help me, that combat this disease that I have. I live in recovery one day at a time because of my higher power, because of the suddenlies that are good suddenlies now. You know, no longer are they say, hey, let's try fasting. Let's try this diet. Let's try eating this. Let's not try not eating this. Let's try all these different things that never amounted to what it is now, which is the reliance on my higher power to get me through this day, a reliance on my higher power to get me through the suddenlies that cross my mind that are not good suddenlies. I feel blessed. I feel grateful. I am encouraged every day when I hear your shares about how you're combating your suddenlies. You know, I love hearing the experiments that we've all tried and we've all been able to overcome one day at a time. So I just want to say thank you all, as always, for being here for me. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for letting me listen to your stories. Thank you for being open and honest with your stories. Thank you for giving me the God wink that I need every single morning. So with that, I would say have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon day. Have a blessed day. And keep reaching for your higher power, because he will get you through the bad suddenly. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie D. in Georgia. Next, Jeannie, will you join us and give us your last initial and tell us where you're calling from this morning? Thank you. Jeannie, star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Jeannie N. for Nancy from New Jersey, grateful compulsive overeater. This is my favorite paragraph in the big book. It's like that mental twist is so subtle for me, you know, and that vague feeling that you're doing something wrong. It's unbelievable. I mean, our brains are wired differently, and I've shared this before, but I just need to share it again. They're wired differently, and only God and the steps can help me recover. He really had no business going into that restaurant with a bar. See, he said he had gone there before, but he was sober when he went there before. That's a big difference, right, guys? I don't know. And also, he didn't enlarge his spiritual life, and we need to do that one day at a time. And you know, I can fall in that so easily. And you know, all I need to do is let my guard down for, I don't know, not long, and that mental twist may come in. And thank you, God, it hasn't come for quite a while. And I am so grateful to this program. I am so grateful to all of you gals who were always there for me when I need help, because I couldn't do it alone. And that's when you help me, it's coming through God, my higher power. Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for your service.
Thank you, Jackie. Sorry, Jeannie, New Jersey. Jeannie, yes, I corrected myself. Thank you, Jeannie.
Okay.
Thank you. Next, Laurie T. in California. Thank you, Laurie.
Hi, this is Laurie from California. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This is the first time in a long time that I've shared at this meeting or have been at this meeting. Unfortunately, my head is so twisted with food that I have been trying to recover. I've been in recovery since 17 years old, and I am 61 years old today. It's shameful. It's embarrassing. And I'm ready to surrender myself to this program. My mind is too clever, too smart, and takes me away, like the paragraph talks about. And I it alone too many times, and it just fails. So I'm in a lot of pain over this, and I just want to be free. I love how this meeting talks about the freedom you experience once you're not affected by food, or, you know, get some abstinence. And I feel like I'm going to die if I don't. I'm going to die with my head in the toilet. I don't want to do that. So anyhow, I'm really glad to be on this meeting, and it took me a lot of courage to even share, so thank you.
Thank you so much, Laurie. Thank you for your honesty. Next, we will stay in California. Barbara A., please unmute and join us. Good morning.
Hello, Susan. Thank you so much for your moderation, and thank everyone for their bravery, their courage, for speaking up. I can relate so much to wanting to do everything myself, wanting to do the experiment myself, not wanting to bring other people in, not wanting to tell the truth. I can handle it. I'm a smart person. I'll be able to do this by myself. When I read this, in the paragraph before, I get irritated. And then I start reasoning, well, I need to call someone and tell them and get them on my side. I need to take some action. I need to go to the food. That's where I always went before. By the grace of God, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I know today that going to the food is always the wrong decision. It never comes out well. That experiment never works. how brave to be able to say, that you're a compulsive overeater. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have character defects. That's not easy to say. And then to want to change. I'm so grateful for this program, to be able to come online and listen to recovery, because I cannot do this by myself. I have tried and failed miserably time after time. I need to share when I'm irritated, discontent, angry, resentful, selfish, self-centered. Those are the things that always took me to the path of the food because I wanted to handle them myself. I wanted to make myself better. I always thought the food would make me better. It would medicate me. Today, I know that God is the one that I go to. And sometimes people bristle at that. Oh, God, that's okay. That's for me. That's my comfort. And what my higher power wants me to do is to keep my side of the street clean, lean into him, absolutely lean into him first, keep my side of the street clean and help others. That's how I find recovery today. That's how I stopped doing the experiments, because I can listen and I can hear the pain of trying that experiment one more time and having it not work. I'm grateful for today for
that's
all the
time,
sharing, for the courage. Thank you so much, Suzanne. And I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara A. in California. Next, Michal S. in Massachusetts. Thank you, Michal. One to unmute and join us.
Good morning. Thank you for the reminder to unmute.
Okay.
McCall in Massachusetts, and it's spelled M-I-C-H-A-L. And I'm a grateful, recovering compulsive eater, and I'm so glad to be here this morning. Thanks again, Susan, for your service. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm just really happy to have a place to come. You know, for so long, I didn't know what was wrong with me. And, you know, maybe would try to talk about it with people who were like, well, can't you just have a little? And just sort of feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know. So some things that stand out to me in this reading is, you know, one of the things I was taught was, like, anything in italics should really pay close attention to. And, yeah, I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart. Sometimes I get these little nudges. But, you know, my disease I will find a way to reassure myself. And I was thinking, I loved how the opening share talked about experiments. And I remember trying to give up chocolate. And so I would like buy unsweetened chocolate and dates. And sometimes I would be able to eat it, quote, normally. And other times I was just, you know, out of control, as we know. And, so I'm really grateful that, you know, the doctor's opinion comes first. And so, you know, this helps to reaffirm, yeah, I can't afford to experiment because I have the physical compulsion with the mental obsession. And my thinking, just the thought crossed my mind. So what I heard reading up to this is, like, resentments have been building up. And, you know, my thinking tells me I can do something to help soothe myself with food. And so now, you know, today I'm grateful to have a higher power and all of you and, you know, connections. I can turn to the steps. I've gotten some more awareness recently about, you know, doing a 10th step, and it's just been really helpful. So with that, I'll pass, and thanks again for being there. It helped me with my recovery today. I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Michal S. in Massachusetts. All right, so just a reminder where we are before I take the next round. Second paragraph on page 36, suddenly the thought crossed my mind. That one paragraph ending didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another. So if today is your third day, please star one, unmute, give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning.
Yes, Carolyn B. from Massachusetts.
Okay, hold on. I heard somebody in Georgia. Who's that?
Margaret D., as in David.
Thank you, Margaret. And then there was another lady speaking.
Carolyn P. from Massachusetts.
Carolyn P. from Massachusetts. Great.
Mary Lou from Massachusetts.
Someone else in Massachusetts?
Yes, Mary Lou.
Nancy L. in Nevada, I got you too. Thank you, Mary Lou and Nancy. I got both of you. Amy G. California. Okay, let's stop there and see. Sorry?
I think we mixed two up. I'm Amy K. in New York, and there was someone else in California, I think.
Oh, okay. So Amy K. in New York, and who? Thank you. And who was in California?
Nancy C. in California.
Nancy C. Okay, I've got two minutes. Okay, so here's what I have. Margaret D. in Georgia, Carolyn P., Massachusetts, Mary Lou, she'll tell us where she's calling from, Nancy L. in Nevada, Amy K. in New York, and then Nancy C. in California. So we'll see how we do and if we have any time left after. So if everybody other than Margaret D. in Georgia could please mute their line. Thank you, Margaret.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning, everybody. This is Margaret D., and I am in Georgia. This paragraph does not speak to me. It reaches out, grabs me by the neck, and throttles me. And it seems to me that, again, just for me, this is the sum of all the textbook is saying, which is, I have a disease, and obviously I am not the disease, but I have the disease. It's like I am not a broken leg. I'm not a broken arm. I have a broken arm, or I have a broken leg. And to make that very simple distinction was the first step in regaining power, because as long as I thought that I could come up with another solution, you know, like I could regrow a new leg or I could do this. Anyways, I don't want to belabor the point. So moving right along, once, and I got to say, I did not realize that I had an eating disorder or that I was a compulsive eater until, my gosh, 35 years later, and I was in program the whole time. And it was only when I got to that point where I could admit to myself that it wasn't that I was the disease, but that I had the disease, that I could admit that I didn't have the power. Lack of power was definitely my dilemma. And I'm going to just share this last thought with you folks, and then I am gone. But one way that I thought that I could control the compulsive eating, and why did I want to control it? Because I thought if I weighed a certain weight, looked a certain way, that my life would be manageable, that it was all because I was just too dadgum fat. That's all it was. And so I picked up smoking. So the thing about the disease is it will go to any length to kill you, any length. You know, maybe you might go into compulsive shopping. Maybe you might, you know, go into doing the gummy bears, cannabis, or whatever it is. But what I'm recognizing is that it all comes back to having this disease of compulsive eating, and it wants to kill me. So fast forward, so I smoked for about 25 years, and I got bladder cancer, which is in remission today, thank you, God. but
time, Margaret.
Okay, and I'll just wrap it up with this. This disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it may not always use food, but it will use the thought that if I do this, then I will be back in power. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Next, Carolyn P. in Massachusetts.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Carolyn P. from Massachusetts. This is my first time at this meeting, and I'm so surprised how easy it was, so we'll come back. I'm a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful for OA that I have been around OA for several years, but now I'm in OA and working the program, and I am finally willing to do what it takes to stay abstinent. I'm fairly new with abstinence. I had a month, which was as long as I have ever had. Then about a week ago, I had a slip. And I suppose the thought crossed my mind that this was not too smart. But the scary part, the very scary part for me, is that I had no idea that I should call somebody or ask my higher power for help. And that's the scary part. I think I need to wake up every morning and do something for my abstinence. I have to wake up saying I'm a compulsive overeater. I go on my phone and go on the toolkit and do everything that it suggests I do. That's it for me. Thank everybody for being here, and have a great abstinent day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carolyn P. in Massachusetts. And next we have Mary Lou. And Mary Lou, if you can give us your last initial and where you are calling from this morning. Thank you.
Yes, good morning, moderator. Susan, I thank, and everybody, thanks so much for being here today and providing service this morning. I'm from Massachusetts also. I love this paragraph. So many people today have already said this is their favorite paragraph because That's me, definitely. Put the whiskey in the milk, only that's not my drug of choice. My drug of choice is food. I've been really lax lately and only calling my sponsor twice a week. And I just hate to say, but eating what I want, pretty much. And by the grace of God, I do stay away from sugar. I've had a couple of lapses with that over the past month, but pretty much I'm okay over that. But I've had an abstinent breakfast today, and I just pray to have an abstinent lunch and dinner today. I realize that, we talk about resentment being the number one offender, and I have been living in resentment for a long time. My husband has Parkinson's disease, and he also has early dementia. So our lives are really defined by those diseases. And being the great codependent that I am also, my life becomes defined by his diseases. And it's just so hard. And, we both looking for ease and comfort. And I look for it in the food. He looks for it in other ways. But just this resentment, I mean, I can do 1,000 steps about it. And for me, it hasn't changed. You know, my resentment, I'm embarrassed to say, but my resentment seems to go to God. I'm angry with God for giving us these diseases to have to live with, where sort of our average age is 75, him and I together. And my life is surrounded by disease and medication. And it's just so hard to, be a 24-hour caregiver and not eat, not eat. And I today just feel like I'm so grateful to be able to have some place to say that and some folks to listen to me And, you know, if I'd love some calls if anybody else is struggling with these issues that I have. And, yeah, with that, I'll pass. And thank you all for being here and service and listening to me today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Lou in Massachusetts. Next, Nancy L. in Nevada. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Nancy L., formerly of Riverside, California, currently in Nevada forever. So what gets me here is that suddenly the thought crossed my mind. Number one, he was in an old haunt, one of his old places he used to go and indulge. And as mentioned before, he should not have been there. And so what I'm finding in my journey of recovery is that it's all about the thoughts and to capture those thoughts as soon as they happen. We are very emotional beings, and our thoughts lead to desires, and our desires lead to emotions, and our emotions lead to actions. So for me, what was the action? What was the desire behind it? And I go backwards and find that thought when I was first learning, and find that thought and identify it. But now when the thought comes, I try to handle that thought when it first happens and not let it grow and not let it become that desire and that emotion that leads to the action, because those thoughts do cross my mind. I mean, I've been abstinent, not perfectly, but I've been abstinent for almost 4 years, and I still, sometimes the thought crosses my mind that this time it won't hurt me. This time I can try it. Oh, it's different. It's fake sugar, whatever. And those thoughts do cross my mind. And I have to say, between the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, the obsession is by far the worst. Because you can stay abstinent and fight the cravings, but that mind, you always have to be vigilant. And so the whole key here, as mentioned, I think on the last page, is that he did not expand his spiritual life. And I'm finding, for me, the reason I was given this disease is so I could walk hand in hand with my higher power, that without that, I cannot take those thoughts captive. I cannot keep my thought life the way it needs to be, because those thoughts will control me as they used to. So thank you for this meeting, and thank you for all of you. Thank you for letting me share, and have a beautiful day.
You too, Nancy L. in Nevada. Next, we have Amy K. in New York. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. This is Amy K. in New York. And I am grateful to say that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Reading this paragraph, suddenly the thought crossed my mind, if I were to put an ounce of that, I could stop right there. Suddenly the thought crossed my mind, and then I don't remember how many there were, but there were a lot of I's in this paragraph and in the previous paragraph, and there was no mention of anybody else except the boss, with whom he had a resentment. And what I know today is that I absolutely cannot do this by myself. And my best thinking kept me out of recovery. So, and our friend says that here too. What does he say? I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart. And then we could go on and say, but I didn't pick up the phone. I didn't pick up the phone when I had the resentment. I didn't pick up the phone when the thought crossed my mind to have whiskey. There were so many times when I could have intervened on my own behalf by reaching out for help. And today I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm willing to be on the line, willing to listen and to know that my ideas are not always the best ideas, and that I need
I need other people and I need a higher power. And however we define that for ourselves, I love the what some of our fellows that tend to say is that all I need to know is that there is a higher power and it's not me. It's just not me. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Amy Kay in New York. And then I believe our last share today will be Nancy C. in California. Thank you, Nancy.
Good morning. My name is Nancy C. I live in Southern California. And I really relate to the experiments that the speaker shared at the beginning. I've tried most of those, and I just want to be done with that. Because the other side of that, the neutrality with food, is so wonderful, and to not be driven by what I'm going to eat next, that to me is so much better. And I'm just grateful for this program. Grateful that when I don't do it perfectly, that you know I'm done with giving up. You know, I just keep going, and I'm learning to be honest and to just to continue on, because I want recovery, and I want the food neutrality, and most of all I want to feel connected to God and to other people. That's what my soul is really longing for. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Okay, we have 2 minutes. First name I hear gets it. Anyone? Going once, going twice? Actually, it's a minute now. I fibbed. Does anyone have a burning desire? No? All right. Well, this has been a fabulous meeting. Thank you for all being here. Nice to hear some new voices sharing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Margaret D. please join us and read a vision for you? Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome. And that begins that our book is meant to be gifted only.
Yes, please. Thank you.
You're welcome. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.